Welcome to the Oxford University United Methodist Church podcast, where each week you'll find new sermons from both our traditional service and our more contemporary journey service. For more information about our church or to contact us, please visit OUUMC.org. And as always, thanks for listening.
Well, good morning. We are entering into a new Christian season, a new part of our Christian year. And it's a part of the Christian year that most people don't pay much attention to. We know two of the big seasons, right? Most people know two big Christian seasons. We know Advent that leads up to Christmas. The choir knows that. We'll give you another chance at this, though. And we know Lent that leads us into Easter, right? But most people don't know about this season that we begin today. It's the season of Epiphany. It picks up at the end of the Christmas story with the arrival of the wise men, and it ends on Ash Wednesday. Ash Wednesday this year is also on Valentine's Day, so you can get chocolates that you can't eat for 40 days this year on Valentine's Day. But this is a season called Epiphany, and Epiphany means awakening. And so this is a season where we seek to awaken our love for Jesus Christ, where we seek to awaken in our own hearts who Christ is calling us to be. And it's a season for us that we want to examine our loves, our true loves. What is it in this life that's leading us? What love is leading us? So as we step into this season, let's pray together. God, we thank you for each season of the year and the ways that those seasons challenge us in different ways. May this month or two it be a time of awakening for us, that we might see and know clearly your love and your grace and your calling on our lives. God, may we hear that call anew, whether it's the first time ever that we seek to hear your claim and call on our lives, or if, God, this is a moment where we hear and experience your call to a deeper existence, a deeper way to serve, a deeper way to be your church. Speak, O Lord, we will listen. In the name of Christ we pray, amen. The new year is a time of fresh starts, right? This is when you decide, I can begin again. And one of the ways that we typically begin again at the new year is that we make New Year's resolutions, right? How many of you made a resolution this year? Nobody wants much to admit it anymore. We're a week in. But if you believe the statistics, about 40% of Americans make New Year's resolutions. And over the years, those resolutions fall into six basic categories. The top six resolutions are, year after year, to eat better, exercise more, spend less money, sleep more, read more books, or learn a new skill, right? So millions of Americans have decided that this is what they want to do. And maybe you have decided, this is what I want to do. You've already ordered a couple of new books to get you into the year. Or maybe you've set a budget and you're living by that budget. Or maybe you've decided you're going to watch everything that you eat very carefully this year. You're going to manage your diet this year. You're going to do it. But you know as well as I know what's going to happen, right? What happens to those resolutions? By Valentine's Day, nobody's going to the gym anymore, right? It's over. We struggle. What we typically tend to do is we fall right back into our old habits, our old patterns, our old routines. And when we think about trying to change, because we've experienced that over and over and over, we think that changing is just impossible. What's interesting is right now there are a lot of studies going on, a lot of research going on about change, about how people change behavior, about how people change habits and routines. And one of those books that talks about all of this is The Power of Habit. And in the book, The Power of Habit, we meet a woman named Lisa Allen. By the time Lisa Allen was in her mid-20s, she was nothing but just one big ball of bad habits. That was her life. She started smoking at 16. She struggled with overeating and obesity her entire life to that point. At one point in her mid-20s, collection agencies were after her for over $10,000 of bad debt. Can you imagine being 25 with that? An old resume listed her longest job lasting less than a year. She was the poster girl for bad habits. But when she met with researchers when she was 34 years old, she was completely changed. She was lean and vibrant. When the researchers looked at pictures of her from her mid-20s, she actually looked younger at 34 than she did in her mid-20s. She had quit smoking 4 years before. She didn't drink anymore. She ran half marathons. She didn't owe anyone anything. And she had stayed at the same job at a graphic design firm for 39 straight months. They were stunned at all the change that she had accomplished in just a short amount of time. And so they asked her what happened. And she told them her story. She said that when she was in her late 20s, her husband came home one day and told her that he was in love with another woman, that he was leaving. She said she spiraled into a deep, dark, and destructive depression. She would binge eat and drink. She tried to track down this other woman and went to her workplace. It was a terrible thing that she would do. And she finally decided on a whim that since she had two credit cards that weren't maxed out, that she would go to Egypt. She had always wanted to see the pyramids. So that's what she did. And she woke up in Cairo miserable, absolutely, utterly miserable. She thought about how destructive her life had been over the last few months. She was ashamed and angry and sad and depressed. She was on a tour bus to go out and see the pyramids, and as she drove through the desert, she said that in a moment, her grief lifted just for a moment, and in that moment when her grief lifted, she looked out across the desert and she said to herself, a year from now, I'm going to come back and journey through the desert on my own. She said, looking back, it was absolutely ridiculous to make that kind of promise to herself. She was out of money. She didn't have a job. She was out of work, out overweight. Everything was against her. But on that day, she quit smoking. And 11 months later, she was back in Egypt, tracking through the desert. So what was it for her? There are a lot of different answers to that, but one of the things for her was that suddenly she attached her life to a bigger story, to a deeper desire, to a different love in her life. Before that, she had known all the information. She had all the reasons to quit all of her bad habits, but until that moment, she didn't have a bigger story. She didn't have anything else to hitch her life to. And when she hitched her life to this new desire, to this new love, all of her habits changed. Everything about her changed. The same thing is true for us. When we take on new loves, when we take on new desires, when we take on new dreams, that's when we change. We can take in all the information about why life would be better if we quit this thing or started doing that. But until we have this greater dream, this greater desire, this greater love driving us, it's impossible to change. The truth of the matter is, we are what we ultimately love. You are what you ultimately love. And as you think about that, Jesus coming here among us makes more sense. Because what was Jesus really about when he called the disciples to follow him? What did Jesus really do with these disciples? Jesus didn't say, hey, follow me, and then gave them a series of TED Talks, did he? Jesus didn't say, hey, follow me, and then gave them a PowerPoint on how they could live a better life, did he? What did he do? He invited them to follow him, to love him. And in that love, their loves became what Jesus loved. Their habits became transformed by the person of Jesus Christ. They became what they loved. And the invitation from Jesus to us to follow, to become followers of Jesus Christ, is the same thing. Jesus desires to claim and reclaim and remake all of our desires and all of our loves, that we might be shaped, that we might be remade. Not by our own efforts, but we might be remade by our love for Jesus Christ and the love that Jesus Christ has for us. James Smith wrote this. He said, Jesus' command to follow him is a command to align our loves and longings with his, to want what God wants, to desire what God desires, to hunger and thirst after God, and crave a world where God is all in all. Jesus comes to realign all of our loves and all of our desires so that in that love we might be reshaped and remade. That's what following Christ is about. But think about what we typically make Christianity into. What do we typically make Christianity into? We make it into a transfer of knowledge, right? We make Christianity this classroom experience where we think if we can just know more about Jesus, that somehow we'll become different people. We want to know all the background of all the books of the Bible. We want to spend our lives studying, transforming our intellect. Or on the other hand, sometimes we make Christianity into nothing more than sin management, right? We make Christianity this long list of things we ought to do and things that we shouldn't do. And typically that list that we shouldn't do is typically the list of what other people shouldn't do, right? That's typically what we make it into. But here's the thing. Our faith has a lot to do with our intellect. Our faith has a lot to do with what we do and don't do in the world. But that's not the starting point. The starting point for Jesus Christ is our love, is our hearts. Jesus seeks to transform our deepest desires so that all of our habits might be changed, so that how we see and understand the world around us might be changed. Paul talks about this. Paul talks about this in the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians, Paul wrote this to the little church at Philippi. And here's what we know from reading this book. Paul and the Philippians were close. They were tight. They loved each other. And part of the reason for that was when Paul was in jail, the Philippians kept supporting him. The Philippians kept believing in his ministry. And so when Paul writes this letter to the Philippians, it almost sings to us because he loves these people so much. And when we get through the first chapter, what we find Paul really expressing what he hopes and what he desires for this church. Here's what he wants for them. I want you to listen to this again in verse 9. And this is my prayer for you, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine what is best. Notice what Paul doesn't say there. Paul doesn't say, my prayer for you is enough knowledge that one day you might know how to love other people. Paul doesn't say, my prayer for you is that you would identify and get rid of all of your sin so that you might know how to live the best life. What does Paul say there? This is my prayer that your love may overflow. The starting point for us, if we want our habits undone, if we want new ways of living in the world, if we want to see the world with the capacity of Jesus Christ to see the world, it begins with deepening our love for Christ so that the love of Jesus Christ becomes our love, so that how Christ loves the world becomes how we love the world. How Christ treats other people becomes how we treat other people, so that the words of Jesus Christ become the words that we speak in this life. It begins with loving Christ. Soren Kierkegaard, Danish philosopher, brilliant, brilliant man, deep thinker. If anybody knew anything about intellect and knowledge, it was Soren Kierkegaard. This is what he says about following Jesus Christ. He says, a believer, after all, is someone in love. Do we need to say that for you again? A believer, after all, is someone in love. It's love that changes us. It is love that leads us to live differently. You are what you love. And you know this. You already know this. Think with me for just a moment. Think about your first love. Back in junior high, high school, college, whenever it was, the first time your heart became enraptured with someone else and you loved someone. You got that? Thinking back to that? Think about how that was that first time. You remember? Everything about you changed, right? Your routines changed. How you dressed changed. Maybe you started wearing cologne at that point. The books that you read, the things that you were interested in, the music that you listened to, it all changed. Why? Because of your beloved. When I was a senior in high school, let me tell you, I did not like country music one bit. Still not a huge fan. But my senior year, one night, I found myself in Jackson, Mississippi at a George Strait concert, right? Did not care where his exes were one single bit at all. Didn't care at all. Why was I there? Because love led me there. So let me ask you this morning, where's your love leading you? The deepest desires of your hearts, where is it taking you? What routines, what habits are being built out of that? What actions come out of your deepest love, your deepest longings and desires? What we're going to do over the next couple weeks, we're going to dig into that. We're going to look at the things that we love that we don't even think that we love. We're going to look past the easy Christian admission, oh, I love Jesus. We're going to look past that to the things that really lay claim to our hearts and shape our lives. And we're going to look at our habits, the habits that we have now, and maybe the habits that we need to sustain our love for Jesus. But here's where it starts. It starts with the truth, claiming and understanding the truth that you are what you love. We must begin to consider where that love is leading us. Let's pray. God, so many different things masquerade as our true love, God. So many things that we're not even aware of. So God, awaken us. Awaken us to the hope of the love of Jesus Christ, how our lives might be transformed by His love. But awaken us as well, God, to all the counterfeit loves that we have that tell us that they will bring us to life, that they will transform us, that they will give us the life that we think that we want. Awaken us so that we might experience the life that You have crafted us to live. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you've been blessed and challenged by today's podcast. Check back next week to hear the latest sermons from Oxford University United Methodist Church.